In California, Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom has easily survived a recall election. His COVID-19 policies and lockdowns were a big issue, and some Democrats say this is now a proven playbook. Republicans live another day and suggest they may have their candidate for next year's gubernatorial race. Let's bring in two longtime California political pros. Rob Stutzman is a Republican strategist. He was on the communications team in 2003 when Arnold Schwarzenegger won a recall race and became governor. Christine Pelosi chairs the Women's Caucus of the California Democratic Party. And yes, she has a famous mom, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Okay, I want to ask both of you, and first to you, Rob, if the pandemic was the story here, Gavin Newsom was the first governor to impose stay-at-home lockdowns and require vaccinations for teachers. Larry Elder said he would undo restrictions before breakfast if he, as Republican, became governor. You people wake up early on the West Coast. Rob, your thoughts on the pandemic?
Well, it's one of the great ironies of the way this recall played out is that the pandemic was probably a primary cause that the recall took place. It was the fuel behind the signature collection. But at the end of the day, Gavin Newsom was very much on the popular.
Oh, and I think we have lost Rob temporarily. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Christine, as we try to get Rob back, your thoughts on the pandemic's role in this, this recall?
Well, to finish Rob's thought, which I think I share, and he'll let us know otherwise. At the beginning, people really resented the lockdowns. They resented the shutdowns. They resented the conflicting information as we were learning about the disease and what to do about COVID. And frankly, the initial response hit hardest on some of the Democrats-based communities, Southeast Asians, African Americans, and Latinos. We learned that lesson. And in 2021, by the time the recall was qualified, the vaccine distribution in multiple languages with trusted emissaries was much, much better than the initial communication of and distribution of the mask order and the shutdown order. So ironically, the COVID crisis that got us into the recall also got us out of it because the governor responded with empathy towards the people who were saying, you know, you have to make our lives better. I have a public school child who's in a classroom for the first time in 17 months. I think that for the 6 million children back in public school, those parents, we were very mad at the lockdown, but we also are glad that our children are alive, and we're also glad that they're back in school. So there was a shift in COVID, a shift in the governor's response, and this recall came just at the moment that his belief in science and our belief in engaging our base communities in a grassroots way, both to get their vaccines and to care about this this election, converged to result in victory.
Okay, and we do have Rob back on the line. And just sticking quickly on this issue, is it your sense, Rob, that in the end, a lot of voters came out because of the pandemic policies?
Oh, I think the contrast in the policies between the two candidates, between Newsom and Elder, who became essentially the only other option, absolutely drove particularly Democrat turnout. I think it drove a lot of moderates off of voting yes for the recall or not even voting at all, because it was, you know, it takes a statement direction that they're just not willing to go. They got vaccinated and they want the state to lean in the vaccinations.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to turn to the potential national implications here. Let's take a quick listen to Gavin Newsom last night.
We said yes to science. We said yes to vaccines. We said yes to ending this pandemic. We said yes to people's right to vote without fear of fake fraud or voter suppression.
Now, Christine, the Newsom team suggests Democrats should run on, outside of California, should run on this next year, notably on vaccines. You think that's a smart playbook or potentially a risk of the Big Brother counterargument?
Well, we start early voting calls into Virginia next week, so it will be a very quick test of the messaging. I do think that that's part of the playbook to say that vaccines and masks work. You can have a shot or you can have a shutdown. It's your choice. But the governor needs to have a statewide mandate because you can't make every janitor, every waitress, every hospital worker be the mask police. That has to come from the state, and that will be critically tested, I think, in Virginia. But the other thing is that candidates need to do what the governor eventually did, which is to really lean into and listen to people who are exhausted and angry and scared about COVID, because COVID is still deadly and people are still in pain, and you have to listen to them first before you just scare them with a partisan message. So as a proud Democrat, a member of the DNC, I'm saying it can't be a partisan message. It has to be an empathic message first.
Okay, and Rob, proud member of the RNC, your thoughts?
Well, not the RNC these days, but I do. I think a cautionary tale for Republicans here is that in states where you want to be competitive, so in blue states where you want to press Democrats who may be vulnerable in the midterms, in purple states, frankly, the states where there's going to be U.S. Senate races for the balance of power next year, you cannot expect to win if you're going to nominate candidates that fit the caricature of Trumpism. It's a loser. Donald Trump lost the White House, the House, and the U.S. Senate during his tenure as president. Larry Elder last night mimicked him and his positions, and the blue California is going to blow him out by about 30 points. So it's hard because of where the electorate is with Trump. But, you know, people like Mitch McConnell know this. That's why they're trying to mitigate the types of Trump-like candidates that are running in early in some of these primaries that could really pose challenges for Republicans next year.
All right. Now, speaking of Larry Elder, let's take a quick listen to him. He said last night that he lost the battle, but not the war.
But ultimately, I decided to run because I felt that I could do something about the crime. I could do something about the homelessness. I could do something about the fact that California has now hit $800,000 average price of a home. That's 150% above the national average. Outrageous.
So, Rob, staying with you, despite these results, any takeaways from Elder's messaging here to potentially elevate certain issues outside of California?
Well, so Elder correctly identifies issues that are very unsettling to a lot of Californians, regardless of their party perspective. You know, when this race was an abstract question, Gavin Newsom, yes, knows, when the polling showed it being, you know, only about 5 points. So Elder's correct, but what he doesn't go on to add is that he, you know, messengers like him that also have positions that are far out of step with the mainstream of a state like California are not the correct messengers. People are not going to have confidence and faith that someone like him could fix it. But if Republicans had more moderate choices to put forward, like a Governor Larry Hogan, who's a Republican governor of a blue state, those types of candidates are what people would be looking for. If at all, they're going to, you're going to expand beyond your Republican base.
Okay. And Christine, let me ask you, where now does Gavin Newsom go from here? I mean, truly at one point he was politically wounded by those images of him dining at a $300 dinner restaurant with a lobbyist without a mask. Where does he go this next year?
Well, Gavin Newsom has a pile of bills in front of him right now. I saw him and the first partner yesterday, and I said to Jen, well, you get your husband back. She said, not yet. We have all those bills to sign, including one that's a Planned Parenthood bill, which obviously Larry Elder would have vetoed. So there's some direct work he has to do right now and just take the same energy, the being humble, grateful, and resolved into 2022. He's got to sign these bills, some on housing, homelessness, and crime reduction, by the way. And also, remember, this is also, victory is also made possible because we elected President Biden, Vice President Harris, Speaker Pelosi, and Leader Schumer. We're going to get another round of those Biden child tax credit checks coming up today in people's bank accounts. That helps. So he has to continue making sure that people know that he cares more about our lives and livelihoods than he does his own personal livelihood. And if he does that, then he will be reelected strongly. I bet he is very grateful to the voters today, but also grateful that Larry Elder is staying in the race, because with Larry Elder as his opponent in 2022, Gavin Newsom will win, and we will win back some of those congressional seats we need to hold the majority in 2022.
And Rob, to you on this question, where what do you expect to hear, I guess, from the GOP in Sacramento over the next year?
Well, I think they'll try to regain their focus on the issues where the ruling Democrats are vulnerable, and that is a lack of progress on the homelessness epidemic in California, rising crime at a time when this governor's closed two prisons and is, you know, and proud of that. That's it. That's his agenda. And yet crime, particularly violent crime, is dramatically on the rise. And we have street inflation in California. I think this is the problem for the Democrats nationally, is the increasing price of food, fuel, and the cost of living for most Americans.
Okay, that is Rob Stutzman, political strategist, Republican, and Democrat Christine Pelosi. Thanks to you both for your time.
Thank you.
My pleasure.